Today, does anyone want to guess what we're going to talk about?
Yerushalayim.
Yerushalayim, very good. Today is Yoim Yerushalayim. So today, Rabbi Michal, give us some history. Yoim Yerushalayim, Rabbi Michal, maybe you can give Phyllis some history of Yoim Yerushalayim. Six-day war.
I remember the
day. Six-day war, the third day.
We all remember the
six-day war. Israel, I remember.
1967. 1967, and I don't know the history. I forgot. I have to brush up. But I believe it was the third day of the Six-Day War when Yerushalayim was, when Yerushalayim was conquered, was taken back, correct?
Recovered.
And that means Yom Yerushalayim is not the end of the Six-Day War.
No.
Yom Yerushalayim is the third day. It's the third day of the Six-Day War. Chof Ches Iyar. And from 1967 forward, it has become a very big minug on Shavuos for everyone within walking distance of the Kosel to come to the Kosel. And this minug is traced back to Yom Yerushalayim. Because that year, 1967, Chof Ches Iyar is the week, it's within, it's only how many days? It's 6 days before, 7 days before, 1 week before Shavuos. And then by Shavuos already things quieted down a little bit. There were 3 more days of war, but there was some safety, some security already in place by the time it came Shavuos. And on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, to come to the place, to come to the Beis HaMikdash. And here, after all these years, the first time, we're everyone living in Eretz Yisrael was free to come to the Kosel, rejoice in the reunification of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was originally divided into two parts completely.
They couldn't accommodate all the people because now you see an open plaza.
Open plaza. Before it wasn't divided. It was just a small little area.
20 feet, maximum 20 feet.
They deepened it also. They deepened it. It was much higher. At that point in time, the wall, they was much higher. When they excavated, they went down. It's interesting why they only went down. I'm sure there's everything, there's a story behind everything, why they only went down a few feet. They could have gone down, no one was holding them back then. They could have gone all the way down, excavated the entire area.
It goes down.
The stones, the tradition is that the stones on the very bottom were actually laid by David HaMelech himself. That's not true when it comes to the entire Kaisel, but the Kaisel Maravi, the foundation, which is buried way, way, way down, we know all the details, but when you go to the Kaisel Plaza, you're coming to really, really like the top part of the wall. And there's very little, much down deeper. But they did excavate a little bit. They went down a few feet when they cleaned out the entire Kosel Plaza. So since then, being that on that year, 1967, was right after the Six-Day War, after the Kosel, Yerushalayim was unified, was the two parts, the part that was originally controlled by the Arabs was taken back, was recovered by Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, and was within our hands, and now the whole city became one city of Yerushalayim that was completely under the control of Klal Yisrael. Everyone rejoiced in going to the Kosel, on Shavuos. So it became a custom, that everyone, if you are in Eretz Yisrael, I was there 1 year Shavuos, everyone goes to the Kosel. You have to go to the Kosel, no matter what. I remember the Rashiva of the Mir Yeshiva of Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was very ill. He had Parkinson's, and I remember he has a minute to walk with a Sefer Torah. He has, I think, a personal Sefer Torah. And for him, it was no easy trip. I remember watching him come to the Kosel. I was there. I made the mistake of davening Vesikin at the Kosel. So that's what you're supposed to do. When you were Shalai, you go Vesikin. You literally can get crushed. Your bones can get crushed. There's so many people. And it's very hard to daven. Everyone is so much... there's no Yishuv Hadas to daven. Okay, I shouldn't say it's not a mistake, but it was an experience. It was definitely an experience, and
we'll do it again.
Not necessarily. Halavai can do it again. You have to be in the right frame of mind. You have to be Roy. No, I was there early. You have to do it the right way. You have to be the right frame of mind. You have to start the Shmaya. Fine. Okay, so in the honor of Yom Yerushalayim, I want to discuss a few ideas, short ideas related to the concept of Yerushalayim. First idea. When do we say in our Nusach, in our liturgy, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim? Twice a year. One of the two times a year, at the Seder, after Chasal, the Pesach, and after Yom Kippur, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. So my question to you is, I'm willing to hear what you have to say, why these two times of the year only do we conclude with L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim? Why? Pesach and Yom Kippur? What about Chanukah, Purim? What about Shavuos, Sukkot? Why these two ceremonial events conclude with? Does anyone have any suggestions? Any ideas come to mind? Yeah?
Pesach is easier.
Why? Karm Pesach.
Because it's
both. Every Yom Tov. But every Yom Tov you can say that. Every Yom Tov. Bikurim. Okay. And what about Yom Kippur? What are Yom Kippur? I'm challenging you. You have to have a match. You have to have a reason, which a theme which runs through both, which perfectly connects the two. Yom Kippur. Hey, I hear what you're saying. Karm Pesach, the Haggadah, Yom Kippur. Why Yom Kippur? What's
the Kohen Gadol goes into the
Lefnai v'Lefnim? So on Shavuos we bring the Bikurim. We can't bring the Bikurim. On Sukkot, you have to the mitzvah of Dalad Min was only Mikra Hadin in the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, Shofar. Yeah.
At that point, we have
we're really for the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Okay, but I'll ask you a question. We'll discuss maybe soon. There's another word for Yerushalayim called Tzion. And in fact, on Tisha B'Av, we don't even say Yerushalayim. The focus is Tzion. All the kinos, the hair, second half of the kinos, all Tzion. And okay, you mentioned Nachem and Yerushalayim. We mentioned Nachem and Saveli, Yerushalayim. But what is the difference, the most simple difference between Yerushalayim and the word Tzion? There are many approaches, which we'll discuss a little bit later. But Yerushalayim represents the physical city. Tzion represents, it has the connotation and leans more to the spiritual essence of Yerushalayim. So it's interesting that Yom Kippur are very holy. And what do? L'shana haba. L'shana haba b'tzion. Not l'shana haba b'yushalayim. Yerushalayim is more mundane. Yerushalayim, it's the city. There are stones, there's concrete, there's pavement, there are bricks, there are buildings. There is an economy, you have a job. Yerushalayim is the term you use to refer to the city, Yerushalayim. Tzion is the term you use to refer to the spiritual essence of the city. So Yom Kippur, if you want to focus that we're very high, we reach a very exalted high level of Kedusha and the Shechinah should rest, L'shan haba b'tzion. Why L'shan haba b'Yerushalayim? We're borrowing from Pesach. Okay, I'm sure there are answers. I want to suggest one answer which I think really says something. Why is Yerushalayim called Yerushalayim? Why? So everyone knows this. Everyone knows this. This is like the Aleph Beis. There are two people who have named different parts of the city. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. We're learning about who's Malki Tzedek? Shem Ben Noach. Everyone knows this, that this was the ancient capital city of Shem. Shem was a little teeny city. They have excavations of where the walls used to be. I don't know if you can mamish go back to the time of Shem. They go back to the time of Yerushalayim, time of the Bayis Shem, Bayis Rishon. But L'chayr, it was a little teeny city. They say Ir David, just one section. The southern section, a little part of the southern part of what we call modern-day Yerushalayim today, not modern-day, of the old city, the southern part of the old city, a little section, was called Shalem. And then there was another area to the north, that was a different section, that was called, Avraham was the first one really to give it a name, he called it Beis El. He called it Beis El when he had the dream. Vinei Sulam Mutzav Arsav Rosh HaMagia HaShemayma. It was the place, L'chayra, that area was the place of the, where today the Beis HaMikdash is, where the Harabais is, where Avraham, where Adam HaRishon, the tradition, it's only tradition, he offered a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shor Makrin, the unusual Shor, the unicorn, he was Makrin of a carbon, the Adam HaRishon, it's the place where the Akedah took place, Har HaMoriah, and then when Yaakov went, he called it Beis El. because he called the Beis Avos. But Avraham, he called it, that part to the north of Shalem, he called it Yireh, the Har Hashem Yeroeh. The word Yeroeh are the same letters as Yireh. And Yireh, Yeru, is short for Yireh or Yeroeh, because Yud Resh, Yud Resh, Aleph Hey. Take the Aleph and the Hey, 5 plus 1, and combine them numerically, you get a 6. So Yud Resh Vav is really the gematria of Yireh or Yeroeh. On this mountain, Hashem shall appear, Hashem will appear on this mountain, or Hashem has appeared on this mountain, depending on how you want to focus on the word Yireh, Yeroeh. But the word Yireh is Yud Resh Aleph Hey. We take the last two letters, Aleph Hey, we combine them into a Vav, Yud Resh Vav. This was the name that Avraham gave this mountain when, very important, the Akedah. After Avram offered Yitzhak on the Akedah, and the Malach came and said to him, Ato yodati ki yirei elokimata, v'lechasachta, esbinchas yichitcha shahavta mimeni, Hashem says, on this mountain, Mahar Hashem Yirah, he gave a bracha, that this is the place where Hashem will appear, it should be the place of the base, and the place of Ashras HaShchina, mokam asher yivcha Hashem lokech l'shakein shemo sham. Let me, in fact, read you the pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayera. Vayhi achar advarim o'ele. Here we go. After the Akedah, I was going to go back. Vayisa Avraham esinu vayav hinei ayil. Achar nechaz basavach bikarnov. Vayelech Avraham vikachas o'el vayelil lo'el tachas b'no. Vayikro Avraham shem hamakoyim ahu Hashem yireh. Asher yeomer hayom. Behar Hashem Yeroeh. Yeroeh turned into Yeru, Yud Reshvav. That's what he called that little section. Along at some point in time, David HaMelech, he purchased that land from Aravna, Hayivusi. That land which turned into a field, we purchased it, and he combined it with the ancient city to the south of Sholem. The ancient city was a different city. It was a little city with a little wall around it. It was the place where Shem ben Noach lived. It was his hometown. He had a yeshiva there, l'chora. And came David. He purchased the land of Yeroeh, the place where Avraham brought over the Akedah, and he knocked down and he joined it to Shalem, and it became Yeru Shalem. Yeru Shalem. That's the city. So look at this. Here's a fascinating insight. What do we know about Malki Tzedek? Malki Tzedek, Melech Sholem. He was a Shem. He was a Kohen. Who Kohen Lekel Elyon? What do we know about him in Chumash? In his relationship with Avraham Avinu. He's a partner with Avraham Avinu.
Teacher.
Right? Partner, teacher. And he actually, met him after the incident of Lot. By the way, when did the Mice of Lot happen? According to tradition? According to the Piyutim?
Pesach.
The night of Pesach. Very good. Malki, and what did Malki say? Moshe, what did he do? Hoitzi lechem v'yayin. What do we do in the night of Pesach? What do we do that? Lechem v'yayin. It's the only day of the year, when we have a mitzvah deraisa to eat lechem, the lechem being matzah, and we commemorate with the daluk hoitzis. Hoitzi lechem v'yayin. When he came to greet Avraham, the counterpart, the other person who named the other half of the city, he brought forth Lechem v'yayin, and Lechem v'yayin certainly is the theme of Pesach. And in fact, according to the Medrash, the event took place. This event took place Lel Pesach. So, therefore, on Lel Pesach, we say L'shana Habaha B'Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim, half of Yerushalayim is Sholem. Sholem is Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. It's his city, and his city, he is the one who captures the essence of Lechem V'Yayin, and in fact he brought Lechem V'Yayin on the night of Pesach. So therefore, to commemorate Shem ben Noach, who called it Shalem, this is his day. Pesach night is his day. We have to remember Shem ben Noach. We focus on the Shalem. Next question. I'm happy you're here today. Who's the one? When did the Akedah take place?
Also Pesach.
Machloikas. One Medrash says it took place in Rosh Hashanah. Another Medrash says it took place on not Pesach. No, I'm not sure there's a Medrash that says that. Maybe there is.
No, we know.
No, no. This the primary. You have to look in the primary. You do your homework. Is Yom Kippur. I'm telling you, this is the Ikar Zman. Most Midrash did Machlokes. Some say it took place in Rosh Hashanah. We mentioned Rosh Hashanah because it's a prominent chelik of the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. But when did the Akedah actually take place? Look in the Midrashim. I'm certain the Ikar Midrash is it took place on Yom Kippur, the Akedah. And when did Avraham name his son, after the Akedah, name it Yeru, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, on Yom Kippur, right? By Yikra Avraham Shem Hamakom Hu Hashem Yireh, Asher Yemer Hayom Hashem Yireh. It was named Yireh on Yom Kippur. So look at that. The two times a year when we say Lashon Haba Yerushalayim are the two times of the year when we can relate the name to its source. Sholem is Shem ben Noach. Pesach is all about Lechem the Yayin. And in fact, when did Shem bring out the Lechem the Yayin? The Medrash says there's no conflict. Night of Pesach.
Where is that? See, when I answered Pesach, I was thinking of Sodom and Lod.
The Muhammad of the four kings and the five kings.
Took place on
Pesach. The miracle that you say it in the piyut, the Bahi Bachatzi Halayla. Bahi Bachatzi Halayla, and it was look in that piyut. That's when Avraham saved Lot. Avraham saved Lot by killing by the miracle of four kings. And that piyut is where you find all the Maariv Mekomos, night of Pesach. And then I got Lot. So this was, I don't know if it happened mamish in those hours, but it was an outgrowth of an event. Of shame coming to greet Avraham, kachli and give me the nefesh, rachush kachloch. The event took place, Pesach. And shame, what did he do to conclude this event? Lechem v'yayin, which is the theme of Pesach. And therefore, it's only appropriate on Pesach we should make mention of shame. Where do we make mention of shame? His city. His city is Shalem. And who else? Who else contributed to the name of this city? Avram Avinu. And when Avram Avinu gave it the name Yeru, Yom Kippur.
Yeah, now what's the source of that? Because we all know that we read the Akedah on Yom Kippur.
Okay, I gotta find it. But I have no doubt. The reason why I have no doubt is because I was so disturbed. I was saying some Dvar Torah, and everything in the Dvar Torah focused on the Akedah. And the Akedah happened in Rosh Hashanah. And every time I looked for the source, it always came up, the other source, no, it happened in Yom Kippur. And I was hard-pressed to find the source that it happened in Rosh Hashanah, if it even exists. And all of the sources of the Akedah all point to happening on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur.
You read it in Rosh Hashanah.
But have a Yom Kippur. All the Midrashim. And then 3 days later, that's what Sukkot. 3 days later, after then Sarah died. And 3 days later, they traveled. It was the whole cheshbon of 3 days and 5 days. That Sukkot is when Yitzchak get married to Rivka. And let's put this aside. But we have to look into it, but I'm certain you're going to find a medrash, if not a very prominent medrash, that says very clearly that it took place on Yom Kippur. And even if it didn't take place on Yom Kippur, which it did anyway, what is the Akedah all about? It's about Mesiras Nefesh, giving up your life. The Inisimes Nafsho Seichem. The ultimate, the Inisimes Nafsho Seichem, is giving up your life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being offered as a korban on the Akedah. And that fits perfectly in line with the theme of Yom Kippur. And an outgrowth of the Akedah, Avraham named the Makom Hashem Yeroya. So it's precisely on these two calendar dates we make mention, Lashon HaBab Yerushalayim. Again, to sum up, Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim, Avraham and Shem. Avraham is Yom Kippur, and Shem is Pesach. And the event that they capture brings out these holidays as well. Giving up your life to Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Inisem Esnaf Shaitsechem is Yom Kippur. Shame personified the idea of Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin, which is the theme of Pesach. And therefore, B'davka, on these 2 days, we have to mention that these are the days of Yerushalayim, Lashana Habab Yerushalayim. Okay, that's one idea. Now let's go to another idea. And now this is just historical. We know we learned Ezra Nehemiah. How many years was there between the Pekida when Koresh said, go home. Rabbi Isai, go back, build a Beis HaMikdash. And then he issued a stay. And then they had to wait another 18 years. So it's basically 19 years. It was 19 years from the Pekida when Koresh gave permission for the Jewish people to return to Eretz Yisrael, and to when the second Aliyah took place 19 years later, when Daryovesh Ben Esther once again gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to rebuild Yerushalayim. It was a 19-year span between the Pekida. Oh, exactly what I'm coming to. So there was a Pekida, Hashem, the two-step process. Geula is a process. There is a process. Kul is a process. Hashem told Klal Yisrael, they never believed they would ever be, they would rebuild the Bayis Shem. There would be a renaissance for Klal Yisrael. It was a churban. It's all over. Finished. It's done. We're going to assimilate. The world will come to an end. Nope. Koresh, go back. Return to your homeland. Right away, he says, you know, I changed my mind. But there was an awakening. And then 19 years later, Daryovish Ben Esther says, continue. I'm reversing the stay, go back. And they were successful. State of Israel, 1948. Yerushalayim was, there was still this, what was it called, the partition, the UN. There was a certain takana. What was it called? What's the precise term? The British gave, there was a resolution.
Armistice?
No, splitting of the city. This was even before the state. This took place in 1947. 1947, it was established that Yerushalayim would be split into two parts. The Arab section and the Jewish section. And there's no mixing, no mingling. This is before the establishment of the state. And then 1948, it didn't change. Just because it was the state of Israel, Yerushalayim was still divided. It took 19 years until Six-Day War, the 30th of the 16th war, when the old city was once again Ir Shechubru Lo Yachta, as is very popular in Darshan, Shechul Yachta was reunited. 19 years. Wow. That's very significant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. He's speaking to us just like there was 19 years between the Pekida. I have you in mind. I remember you. I didn't forget about you. Until the time when they actually succeeded in going to the next step of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, rebuilding Yerushalayim, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. The state, you can't say not. Even if you're an anti-Zionist, you can't deny the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to the world, speaking to us. There's a Pekida, whatever it means. There was a Pekida in the time of Koresh. Koresh is no different than the United Nations. No, Koresh was not a new era Strimo and a Bekesha. So Koresh, there was a Pekida, 19 years. Hashem is telling us, study, you know, why don't you open up, crack open the binding of Sefer Nehemiah, Divrei Hayamim, Ezra. Maybe there's something to learn there. To learn there as a blueprint to understand the unfolding and the process of Geula. Okay, that's one idea. I don't think it's a coincidence. Another idea. When is this day? We all count Sefirah. Some of people, the fun part of counting Sefirah is not the numbers. I'm not a number person, but I come into the Young Israel of Midway from all places. I mean, this is Young Israel, right? A big ois on that electronic screen. Chesed Shebemalchus. What is this here? This is a Chassid Shashtibo. In most literature plays, they don't even say this stuff. They strike it, they take Ruben out of the city, just a number game. They don't say L'Shem Yichud, but here, come Young Israel of Midway, the first thing you greet when you come into Shul on the electronic screen is, and the biggest ois is exactly what is the day. It's Gevaldik. I mean, I think it's very nice. My father's Zichron Levrach, when he used to say Sfir, he would scream. I mean, it was subconsciously. I don't think he even realized what he was doing. He would say L'Shem Yichud, and then he would say, yeah. I don't think... He was just like subconscious. No, the Young Israel, they skip it. They skip it. Yeshiva skip it. They just say the bracha. Only the Hasidim. My father would start. He just like L'Shem Yichud. It became a big thing in the shul. It became a big thing. Everyone said L'Shem Yichud. And my father says, and then my father. What? Yeah, the whole thing. And my father, yeah, I always could hear my father. I used to sit in the back. I always hear my father saying out loud. He would say, Gevura Shebemalcha, you know, he would always say into the sitter. And it became part of the standard Nusach for almost 30 years in the Young Israel, where we daven. But what these things have significance. I have no idea what these things are. It's way beyond me, all these countings of the spheres. Probably 400 years ago, probably. Yeah, this is modern stuff. I have no idea what this is all about, but today, Chof Ches Iyur is, you can't deny, it's Chesed Shebemalchus. And Chof Ches Iyur was the day they were saying Chesed Shebemalchus when they took back the Kosel, when they unified Iyur Shechurbu Lo Yachdav. What is Ches Shebemalchus? So it's very interesting. Avraham is Avram. Avraham? We learned that today. He starts out as Av of the nation of Aram, but Hashem says, I'm going to make you the Av Hamoin Goyim. Avraham was the Melech. He was Mamish, the Melech of the whole world. Av Hamoin, of the multitude of nations. What was the need of Avraham Avinu? Chesed. This is Midah. And Avraham is the one who recognized the greatness of Yerushalayim. Vayikra Avram Hashem Makam Bahu Hashem Yeroe Bahar Hashem Yeroe. On this mountain Yeroe. So I just want to make an observation that it's not a coincidence that Yerushalayim was taken back Ir Shechubu Lo Yachtav on the day of Chesed Shebemalchus. Because the city of Yerushalayim, the beginning of the city, it's Yeru. There's Yeru and Shalayim, but Avraham gets a lot of credit for Yerushalayim. He's the one that sacrificed Yitzchak on the Akedah. He's the one that recognizes. He was the one that was mispalel Bahar Hashem Yiroyah. And Avraham is the Melech of the world. Malchusa, the Adar Kein Malchusa, the Rekia, Av Hamoin Goyim Nisaticha. And the need of Avraham Avinu is Chesel Avraham. So you can't say that it's just a coincidence that the day that Yerushalayim was taken back was on the day of Chesed Shebemalchus. Not a coincidence. Avraham Avinu was watching over Klal Yisrael on that day to make sure that it's recovered and it's a mokom of Har Hashem Yeroi. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now this idea, I wish I didn't like, but it grew on me. A lot of things I don't like. It takes time to settle in. In Tanakh, how many times does Yerushalayim appear? The truth is, I have inconsistencies. I have different svarim that talk about Yerushalayim. And they,
400.
No. 600, I found two versions. Two very good svarim, which are very meticulous. I'm shocked that there's a discrepancy. What?
Concordance doesn't tell you?
I don't have a concordance. I don't look at the concordance. I don't know. You have to go look at the. They don't have numbers, though, in the concordance. They have numbers? You got to go on the computer,
yes.
But.
No, they have numbers.
Okay, so you go look in the numbers. Go look it up, please. I didn't know that. I don't even know what my concordance is. I know where it is, but I have limited when I prepare for the shiur. I have limited access to only certain, so I have to take with me certain svarim. So I don't always have a chance to properly prepare. But I saw different numbers. It's not important. Either 667 or 669, a discrepancy of two. Maybe you can resolve. There's a reason why they calculate it differently. Okay, whatever it is, 667 or 669. Oh, there are a lot of, but there are. Oh, so now among these 667 and 669, there's another discrepancy. Most of them, except for either one version 5 and the other version 11, I don't know how to reconcile 5 and 11, are it's always written choser. In Tanakh, kimat 99% of the time, Yerushalayim does not have a yud at the end. Yerushalayim, there is no yud. We pronounce it, Kriv Chesed, we pronounce it Yerushalayim. Yim, Yud Mem. Yud Mem, like we learned today about Mitzrayim. About Mitzrayim. And yet all the children of Mitzrayim have Yud Mems at the end. Yud Mem, Yud Mem. But that's the Ksiv. The Ksiv is with the Choser. We read it Yerushalayim with the Yud Mem. Only 5 times, according to one of my Svarim, and another Sefer 11 times. And they're both like really on the dot. I don't know how they resolve these discrepancies, but it's written Mole. Namely in the Megillah, Megillas Esther, only in parts of Ksuvim will be written Mole, and that means that Mole always the fullest sense. What is the significance of the Yud missing, not missing? So there's a lot of Kabbalah in this idea, but the gist of the idea, it took time to settle on me, is as follows. Sholem is shame, right? Malki Tzedek Melech, who is shame? What it was? Who Koyim Lekel Elya? Priest. What is a priest? Kohen is a teacher. Someone that ministers, does rabbi things. right? He does rabbi things, he's a teacher, he does religious services. He was the Kohen Gadol of the ancient world. He had a shaila to ask, he had a chayla bias, you need anything religious, went through him. He was the Kohen Elyon. He made a fatal mistake. What was his fatal mistake? After the Muhammad of the four kings, the five kings, when Avram saved Lot, he came to greet Avram. He gave more kavod to Avram than he gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now for him, for the average person, it's no big deal. But he is the religious leader of the world, and the television cameras are all on. That was a fatal mistake. You give more kavod, the religious leader of the world is expected to give more kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then therefore he gave Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon. He should have said Baruch Kel Elyon and Baruch Avram. He made a big mistake. He put the order the wrong way. He gave
Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon and Baruch Kel Elyon.
Baruch Kel Elyon. He should have said first Baruch Kel Elyon and then say Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon. So he made a mistake. So therefore what happened? He was punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fired him. Okay, you're fired. He was demoted. You're no longer going to be from your descendants, from your children, you will no longer be the Kohen. It will now come from Avram, even though Avram is a
descendant.
Still Rashi, exactly. Still Rashi, even though Avram is a descendant of Shem. But whatever it means, it means it was taken away to some degree, it was taken away from Shem, was given to Avram. So, in other words, what happened to Shem? Okay, again, this is Jewish. This is not pshat, so you can't hold me down. You have to agree. Ein mashiv na l'Jewish. He was chosen. There was something lacking. Shame. His name. He called it Shalem, but there's something lacking. There's something lacking in Shalem. Who took over the din of Kahuna? Avram. Avram. Who did he give it to? He didn't just give him for himself. The whole Klal Yisrael is called a mamleches kohanim. Whole Klal Yisrael. When we are in Golis, our capital is always Yerushalayim. It's Behar Hashem Yiroheh, and we also have taken Sholem. We have incorporated Sholem, which is Kahuna, into our numbers. But there's a Sholem that's Mole and a Sholem that's Chaser. When it's Mole, it means we are fulfilling the role of the Kohen. For who Kohen Lekel Elyon, and this was his capital city. This is where, this is center of the Kahuna. Who Kohen Lekel Elyon? When the Yud is there, you pad it. It's Shalem. The Kahuna is functioning properly, and when it's Choser, it means the Kahuna is lacking. You're not doing what you're not acting in the role of being a Kohen. Shalem, Shem made a mistake. It was taken away. Klal Yisrael was given the role to be the Mamleches Kohanim L'Goy Kadosh. In Golis, throughout Tanakh, before we come to the ultimate Gula Shalema, it's Yerushalayim. The Yud is missing because we're not true to our mission. Our mission is to be a Mamleches Kohanim. It's only in Yemos HaMashiach, it's only in the selective places in Tanakh, where the Megillah, where there are sparks, where V'rabi Me'ame Ha'aretz Misyahadim, when Klal Yisrael once again resumes its role of being a Mamleches Kohanim, then to indicate that we have now taken from Sholem, because Sholem is complaining. Shame is bitter. You took away from me my kahuna, and you gave it to Klal Yisrael, and guess what? They're no better than me. They're miserable failures, just like me. So if they're going to fail, I'm going to fail. At least put it on its chazakah. Let me have the kahuna for myself. Let me be a player in this world. Let me be the religious leader of this world. He's got a good taina. He has a very good complaint. And his complaint is expressed in the fact that Yerushalayim, the capital in Mokom of Klal Yisrael, is Choser. The Sholem, it's Yerushalayim, not Yerushalayim. He has a good complaint. We took it away from him for no good reason because we have not mashlim the role of being a Mamleches Kohanim. But when Yerushalayim does fulfill that role for Klal the entire world, then it's spelled Mole with the Yud to indicate that it's complete. Okay, let's go to another idea. We're running out of time. Another idea. I found this to be an amazing, amazing insight into the Shemona Esrei. Came across this very, very fundamental question. You say the Shemona Esrei every single day. This should bother you to no end. We have a bracha, Vi li Rushalayim ircha barachamim tasha. V'sishkon b'sach asher dibarta. Okay, very nice. Uvneil sa, may you rebuild it. B'karov b'yameinu, speedily in our days. Binyan oilam, an everlasting eternal building, an eternal structure, an abode for the Shekhinah. Then it says something which is extremely bizarre. V'chisei David, the chair, the throne of David, mehera, swiftly, very soon, l'socho, within it, tochin, may you establish. Baruch atah Hashem bonei Yerushalayim. Next bracha. Es tzemach David, the sprout of David, avdecha, mehera, satzmiach, v'karno, tarum, yishua secha, may his horn be elevated in your salvation, v'karno, not
Karen is the power symbol.
The power, when you say, V'karno Torah Mishua Secha, Ki Lishua Secha Kli Nikol Hayam. Question is, why is there a mention of the Chisei David in the Bracha of Vili Rushalayim? The Chisei David should be included in the Bracha of Es Samach David. If we were writing the Shemoneh Esrei, we would write, Uvneil Sabakar B'Yameinu Binyan Olam, Baruch Ato Hashem Bonei Yerushalayim. Then we would say, Es Samach David Meiras Tatzmiach, the Chisei David Mehera, Lusoicha, Tachin, whatever you compose, but David does not belong in the Bracha of Yerushalayim. It doesn't belong there. So what in the world is going on? So there are answers. You will take out any good sefer on the Shemoneh Esrei, they'll address this issue and they'll tell you that Ein Yeshiva, they'll say Chisei David refers to the concept of Yeshiva, of sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, where Yerushalayim means the structure, Ein Yeshiva El Malchei Beis Dav Bilvad, so we mentioned Chisei David in Yerushalayim. Alright, there are answers, all the answers are not really 100% satisfying, whatever the answers are. But there's one answer which really was shocking, it's more of a homiletic, it's not a pshat answer, so it doesn't really answer the question, but opens up a whole new understanding into Yerushalayim. And it's based on the Zohar. And the Zohar is something very simple. He says, there's something called David, and there's something called the chair of David. It's very bizarre, what do you mean, literally the chair of David? Chisei David? You see these Hasidish Rebbes, they come, they have chairs, fancy chairs. I was once by a base ovel. I was sitting, you know, innocent bystander. You know, I wasn't making any way. I was just sitting there quietly. All of a sudden, comes in a few big, tall Hasidish guys dressed up in their uniform, and they look around. They look around. They find the fanciest dining room chair they can find in the apartment without asking permission. And they go and they grab a fancy dining room chair with big arms, and they tell everyone there, get out of the way, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Then they put the chair down, and then 5 seconds later, walks into the door, a rebbe, I don't even know who he was, a big rebbe, very big, tall rebbe, surrounded by chassidim. He goes and he sits down in the chair. And he stays there for 10 minutes. He has a conversation, a private conversation. This rebbe went to Menachem Ovel, and his chassidim go in front of him, the secret service go in front of him. So instead of the security detail looking for bombs, they look for nice chairs. They look for nice furniture. No, they didn't bring the chair. The other chassidim, they bring the chair. Okay, fine. What is this thing called a chair? What is a Chisei David? So you know, the Zohar says, so the Zohar says something amazing. He says, the Chisei David really is a code for Mashiach ben Yosef. This is the Zohar.
It's the institution of
Malchus. Oh, exactly. Correct. And David, Tzemach David, is a code for Mashiach ben Tzemach David, Mashiach ben David. Now, I don't really know what these things mean, but we know that when Mashiach comes, there are two Mashiachs. There's a two-step process. Mashiach ben Yosef, followed by Mashiach ben David. So first comes Mashiach ben Yosef, and then Mashiach ben David. What is Mashiach ben Yosef? So again, I don't really know the deal, but basically it's more of a political Mashiach, which sets the stage. And setting the stage is more viewed in more mundane terms, not in spiritual terms. It gets the environment, it gets the people the proper frame of mind and the proper physical background for the ultimate coming of Mashiach ben David, which is more of the spiritual Mashiach. So along comes the Zohar, and the Zohar says something which is incredibly insightful. Kisei David is a David, And it's a Kisei David. Even though we know we associate Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, the Kisei David, the chair of David, is not David. It's a different Mashiach that's going to set the stage. It's going to set the table, the foundation for the Mashiach ben David. It's Mashiach ben Yosef. Unbelievable. So that now, with that insight, so this is Sefer called Aresha Sefer Seinu on Tefillah. That's really what it means here in the Bracha of Yerushalayim Yerucha. Because the building of this is a fascinating idea in looking at Mashiach. Mashiach is unfolding before our eyes, according to this idea. Yerushalayim, forget about people. It's true, there's no, we have a Emunah Shleima, there's going to be a person called Mashiach, there's going to be a person called Mashiach ben Yosef. But Mashiach can be interpreted in many layers. And there's also a Mokom that's also called the Mashiach ben Yosef, which is a Hachana for the ultimate Mashiach ben David. And that's Yerushalayim. The building of Yerushalayim in a certain sense is the Mashiach ben Yosef that will set the stage for Mashiach ben David. If Yerushalayim is Shomim, there's no living in Yerushalayim. It's barren. There's nothing there. And everyone's living all over the world in all the European countries and in Africa and in America and in Canada and who knows where. And almost all Mashiach is here. Really? Mashiach is here? There's no foundation. Where are we going to go? It's not set up. Where are we going? Where are we going to go with Mashiach ben David?
Residence.
You have to first have a Mashiach ben Yosef to set the stage. Yerushalayim, as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, in a certain sense, is the Mashiach ben Yosef that is a necessary prerequisite for the Esamach David. And therefore, it has to be in the bracha, Vili Yerushalayim Ircha, Berachamim Tosha, rebuild Yerushalayim. Because what is Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is V'chisei David Mehera L'socha Tochen. Yerushalayim, in the greater sense, is the Mashiach ben Yosef. Which, we have a Yerushalayim, we have a Mokom, we have a basic understanding of what's going to be, we have a Harabais, we have a capital, it's our Mokom. We have the Chisei David, the Mashiach ben Yosef. Now, only now can we proceed to the next bracha as Senach David. Now Mashiach ben David can come. Unbelievable, it has to be there. But what do we take out of this for our purpose? Yom Yerushalayim. The miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu handing us Yerushalayim. In essence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain realm, is sending us Mashiach ben Yosef. It's the Chisei David. Mashiach ben Yosef is here. Things are happening. Now again, not to take away from the Pshut Shel Mikra. No one's denying there's going to be a human being called Mashiach ben Yosef. Absolutely. But you have to look at Chazal many layers and many dimensions. Yom Yerushalayim, having Mashiach ben Yosef is appearing before us. The foundation is being set. The Chisei David is being prepared. And now will come further to Esemach David. It's part of the process of coming of actually Mashiach ben David. Okay, we'll stop here.